Hi, everybody. Just a show of hands, who are like from either OTT services, what is everyone's kind of requisite background? Can you give me a sampling of what you guys do or where you work, part of the world you're from?
How about you? We're for a BI company, business intelligence.
Got it, okay. Software. All right, sir.
Digital marketing.
Okay, marketing, good.
Consulting.
Okay, got it. We have a lot of consultants. Right?
A lot of consultants.
That's okay. That's good. So I'm Gabriel Berger. I'm a CEO of Think Analytics. And what we're going to do is talk about kind of dovetailing, actually. I think you're hearing a lot of the same words, like engagement, right? So that was a big part about today at the 10 o'clock, a very good kind of tutorial presentation from the gentleman from Pepperdine about engagement. So now we're going to talk more about the engagement economy, right? We are in an engagement economy, right? We are in an attention economy. We're fighting for the same eyeballs. It could be argued that the new television is television, right? It's where it's going, doesn't make a difference. It's a platform. How do we engage? Very, very important. More importantly, how does engagement manifest itself? Right. Well, I guess it depends who you are. First is like old school stuff. Really, really important. We talk about OTT, all that, that's quite true. What about ratings and share? That's an engagement metric, right? That's a good one, right? Click-throughs, that's another one. If you're a TVOD guy, you're selling transactional VOD, buy rates. If you're in the pay-per-view business, how many people bought the McGregor fight coming up on Saturday, right? That's another way. So it kind of depends on what your business is. But clearly, engagement is what it's all about. Example is, if you either flew here, how many people from out of town? Now I sound like a comic from a sound lounge singer, but how many people are from out of town? Okay. Staying in a hotel?
Drove up.
Okay. And did you fly here?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a bad example. Okay. Well, I fly a lot. I live my life on a plane, right? 24 hours after I get home or I stay at a Marriott, I get an email from Marriott. What does it say? How did we do? Now, they're not the Red Cross, right? I think they care about how I'm feeling, but it's engagement. It's how they define engagement. They're touching the customer a lot, and that's what we're seeing. And this is something that we bring to bear. We talk about scale a lot. We talk about volume. We don't talk about velocity, right? I mean, you think about it right now. There's a premiere going on in Netflix, Amazon, original content. Charter Communications is in the original content business. I mean, they literally are doing that right now. So you're seeing more and more content get faster, right? And what's happened is there's been an evolution. So we're living in a different era. So, you know, I don't want to get too macroscopic, but, you know, there's me. My father would say, you know, Gabe, change the channel, right? Then you have this pay TV environment. Now you're getting into subscribers, kind of a passive relationship, right? Pretty simple. Interesting enough, though, when you look at it to a certain extent, that's kind of Netflix model, right? Pay something for a month, just don't churn, right? And now you're getting into this. How did we do, Gabe, right? And you're touching the customer all the time. So it's live, it's on demand, it's both, right? It's linear, it's how you spread recommendations over channels. So you're seeing more and more, almost like linear becoming the new VOD. It's really kind of bizarre, right? Because you can hang social media feeds off it, you can do all sorts of things. So how do you start to handle both live and on demand? So here's a quote here from Neil Hunt on Netflix. By the way, these guys are the Zen masters of making a library look bigger than it is, right? No question about it. No question about it. Comcast, oh my God, they have it's 10x the size of the library of Netflix in any given day. But they're the Zen masters of metadata. They're Zen masters of proffering up the kind of content that you want to see. And we'll talk about metadata being very, very important. But I think it's a great quote, part of a great quote. The average user looks at the app, right, 1 to 2 minutes and browses 20 to 50 titles before either watching something or moving on. It is that tiny window of time in which the success and failure of a video service hangs. That's it, right? So that's where we are right now. That's why we got to talk about the variable of speed and how important it is. Netflix, again, the Zen masters, they spend $150 million and dedicate 300 people easily on this analytics data. What we see over and over, and we'll talk about our bona fides, a little bit about my company and the company I work for. We do a bunch of recommendations, and this is a lot, is machine learning, it's all these other things. Never ever, at least at this point in our evolution as a society and technology, never forget the human intervention part. Algorithms are meant by human beings. There are prejudices, there are mistakes, there's learning actions that go on. Very, very important. Netflix spends a lot of this money, but a lot of it is people. Matter of fact, if you look at like Facebook, they've had some bad publicity, obviously, and they'll talk about we're fighting bullying, we're fighting trolling. And what do they show you? They show you a bunch of 20-year-olds in a room, right? I mean, they're still, it's the human intervention that's curating and doing a lot of this, combined with AI, combined with machine learning, combined with best practices, all very, very important. So where are we now? You know, what is the common thread here of engagement? So if you look at paid TV, and we, you know, pay, again, paid TV, OTT, they still have the same exact problems. What do you need to be able to do? Well, first you need something that's immediate, something that is a living, breathing thing, right? That's really important. It's a living, breathing thing. You have to treat it like that. So to give you a little bit of background, I was one of the early guys at a company called Digital Smiths, which we sold to TiVo. And what we learned there was pretty amazing in that about 8 years ago, there was a run on who wanted to be in recommendations. And people were looking for recommendations vendors. And what happened is the entire food chain of decision making was with the data scientists. So any data scientists here? Okay, good. And they made the decision. Then we go into a bake-off, and you know what? Everybody kind of came out the same way. Right? That's what happened. They were like, okay, everybody's kind of in the same swim lane. It all comes down to who you want to work with, the deal, the customer service, etc. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that no one's using the knobs and dials I sold 8 years ago. Right? It just, it's not there yet. Pardon me. So what we're looking for is something that's immediate, ongoing, accurate, personalized, meaningful, all platforms, and nimble. Very, very important. Pardon me, it all starts with the metadata. So we're doing this in 40 languages. I have a certain thing I say all the time is that there's no sacred text. There's a sacred text. There's a way you set things up correctly in how you use metadata. We have two different parts and silos of our company. We have the data sciences part. This is, we've been doing data mining, machine learning, AI, we've been doing this for 14, 15 years. That's kind of the technology. The jet fuel is the metadata. The jet fuel makes the makes the jet fuel stronger is the metadata. Now, when we talk about metadata in terms of search. We're not talking about artwork. We're not talking about time-based metadata. We're talking about how you create attributes to make everything more meaningful. Then we tie in machine learning. And then, how do you keep score? This gets down to monetization. What is your conversion? You proffered up X amount of recommendations. Did anybody take it? And the last part is, how do you know? And how do you deal with time? That Ghostbusters developer sign is all about time. Meaning that we love developers. They're fantastic. But if you're in a nimble environment, and you want to make a change request, and it goes to a developer, and he's got, I don't know, 4,000 outstanding tickets of change requests that he has to get done. Probably not an exaggeration. Do you want that guy? He's a great guy, right? But he probably has a weak stomach, irritable bowel syndrome, works 75 hours a week, and not helping the situation at all because it's not nimble enough. You've got to take things out of the data scientist's hands and put it into the marketing program, hence monetization. So what do we have? We have different components that we're going to take you through of composer, editorial, and think big data. We'll take you through that. But it all has to do with affecting things in real time. But consumer engagement just doesn't stop with creating campaigns. It's not as simple as it sounds. What we're going to show you is how you rapidly can do this on the fly and deploy and make campaigns in minutes. So we know the engagement economy is here. And now a little bit about ourselves. So we've been doing this for a long time. We're a privately held company. We have academic roots now in the data scientists and data mining, right? That's what all started. We had originally contracts with Sky and the NSA. Sky had actually nothing to do with REC. It had to do with really customer service data mining, and we got into the video business about 14 years ago. We're in 33 countries. We're in 40 languages, very, very important. We think multi-languages and multilinguistics, so multilinguistic being stuff that happens inside one household. Like we're in Switzerland, in a household in Switzerland, we're profiting up REC in French, German, you know, multiple languages in one house. We're launching with other, you know, Hispanic-centric markets here in the U.S., same thing. They want to have this kind of information in Spanish. So what we saw here is that, again, that first gen was all about the algorithms, the lab tests, the data set, how you bring in 400 or 500 different data sets, everything like that. But that takes time. And again, no one was using what we're doing. Now, this is where we are now. It's really more about recommendations than search. More and more you want to proffer up and let the content find them as opposed to search, still very important. But also understanding viewer lifecycle management, following the life of the recommendation. We do 2 billion recommendations a day, right? So what? Now what? Right? Now what? That's what it's about. And that's what we're going to show you right now, is the now what, how you really start to do this. What we have going for us more than anything else, we got 14 years of mistakes, of best practices, banging our head against the wall, saying what works, what doesn't. And that's really the key. So now, this gentleman here is the lovely and talented Manny Rojas. He is VP Sales Engineering. He's on probation. Hopefully he'll do well today.
Thanks.
So we're going to take you through a couple of things. You see this looks like REC? That's the tip of the spear. We're going to show you everything really below the REC and how we get going. So what we're going to take you through here is that we saw this is called Think My TV. We are not a UI company at all. Obviously, it's tough to show an API. So we developed this dashboard. So no, we're not a REC company. This kind of looks nominally the same, as you may see. The points of differentiation on metadata start fairly immediately. Annie, if you wouldn't mind going here. So this is what we call here learn actions. We have 18 learn actions that come out of the box, right? In this particular example, this is Manny. Normally, it would be Manny's profile. Normally, this would be obfuscated as profile 12345, whatever it may be. So we're getting record here. Manny, there's an action here of record, right? So we're going to go through that. Manny hit that. And if you want to go here, can you show the metadata tags? Well, here's the editorial of this particular, and who's in this particular, particular here. So you look here. Here's the similarity because of these corresponding metadata sets, right? So that's the key right there. That's how it works. Now, below that, this is what our information sciences people have done. They go in here and they really start to groom this, and they look deeper and deeper and deeper to get more nuance into moods. Moods are very, very important, right? How you begin to coalesce those moods and start using it in an actionable, monetizable way. So now I'm going to go back here. Let's start talking to Manny. Or 12345. These are the metadata sets that we talked about that are weighted in Manny's profile. And the key here is we're learning about Manny in one interaction. This is a cold start, right? It really goes in a life cycle management of a circle, but you guys are like supply chain guys here. Think of it as something coming out now. Think of it going left to right, and then it goes into a circle of constant viewer cycle management, of REC, composing things, changing it, A/B testing, etc. So what I'm looking at here is basically this. This is for marketers, this is for engineers, right? Very, very simple. So now we're going to go in here, and we're going to set up a use case. This is what we're going to try to set up here. So this is obviously a demo on this one. This is the demo we're setting up. What are we trying to learn? This is very, very important. So we're going to look for, what are we looking for here, man?
Well, so...
Which one are we going to pick?
Yeah, we're going to do mood-based.
Okay.
For this,
so we're going to go mood-based. Then we're going to pick a source. Linear, on demand, right? So you start setting up these different parameters. Items requested, 5, very important. Do not show 15 different recommendations when it's a set-top box and it'll only spin up 4 pieces of artwork. You're just going to make people mad, right? So you want to be able to have device awareness to be able to do all this stuff, right, very, very quickly. Then we can apply a marketing bias, would be something along the lines of, let's give it to everybody who doesn't get HBO right now. Let's do a campaign, right? Then we go into what we want to look at. Let's look at this as an action film, and let's create a use case. Now, we go back here. This is going to take, by the way, this gets back to all this. Didn't involve that developer we talked about before. There's no developer here. It's now a straight information loop that goes from the marketing and programming people, and they can affect change without having to get a change request, get an engineer involved, and that could cost, you know, several hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes to do. So now we're looking at what we see here with action. Now, let's go to something else. Let's go look at this by action series. Now, this is the A/B test, right? As we get into this, Maddie?
Yeah, so we can look at it a couple of different ways. I mean, the first round, if we take a look, I just picked randomly. Say, let's say I'm focusing on Manny as an individual, and I understand that Manny does like action. So the idea is, how do I market something to him, right? So the first test of round, I said, let me just throw some action films at him. And that's what you saw in that first view when I went back to that that UI. But let's say I try to find out, does Manny also like a series? So the idea with this tool is to allow you, the marketing or the product manager, to go in there and change that on the fly as you need to without involving any of the resources that Gabe mentioned. And you'll see the purpose of this demo is to show you how we can actually do that in real time. If I publish that out, and of course you have policies in place, that would be the idea. You'd probably have multiple eyes on this thing to make sure the campaign looks right. But the idea is you're not involving those resources that are costly and the ones that usually extend your time to market. So after I've changed that, and I can come back in here and just do a quick refresh, you'll notice now I went from movies that were action-based to a sort of series that are action-based. And I can get even more granular. I see some animations in there. Maybe I go in there and say, you know what, don't show me animations. Exclude that feature. Show me only things that are actual people. Or maybe I just do animations. But the point is you as the marketing team can make that decision of what do you actually want to show and what's that campaign going to look like.
So then let's show now going to A/B, right?
Yeah.
A/B testing. So now we want to set up an A/B test, right? So what is an A/B test? It's a beauty contest of decisions. That's what an A/B test is, right? What's going to turn out to be the best scenario? What should we look at? So as we A/B test, this becomes very, very important to be able to do this on the fly. And we set up, by the way, there's a lot here. We're going through it really, really fast. But the whole notion is to be able to put the knobs and dials in control of the people that can really affect change because their butts are on the line, right? And in different markets, if you look at like LATAM, TVOD, transactional VOD, is blowing up still, right? Here on traditional paid cable operation, not so much, more of an ad. When we launched, we just launched at Viacom 18 in India, right, on 30 million mobile devices in 8 different dialects in India, right? That's an ad-based model. That's different. So you have to adapt accordingly and set up different kind of rules that you think are more applicable. All right, so just going to the test, man.
Yeah, I've just created a use case in there, but we can come into the analytics piece here next.
Okay, so now that we did all this, again, so what? How do you measure success? Let's look at conversions. So what this means is that in this particular dashboard, that's how many learn actions were proffered up, that's how many people converted, or how many profiles converted, right? There's a lot of information here. But this is really important as you get these dashboards to the right people that can make the right decisions. That's really important. And Manny, take us through some of these here.
Sure. So as Gabe mentioned, one of the key performance indicators that you might be concerned about in your team, it might be conversions, right? Now, the idea for this tool, since we're putting it in the hands of those marketing and those product managers, is to say, okay, let's not just put you into one pigeonhole. Let's allow you to have a variety of different views. So if conversions is important to me, great. I can take a look at that. I can see which one of those use cases I've deployed are actually working. I can go back and say, off of those learn actions, we mentioned 18 of them. Right, so we have things also like maybe I posted it to Facebook, maybe I posted it onto Twitter. Maybe I'm tracking how many people watch a trailer, and I can make a correlation and say, okay, out of all the people that watch a trailer, 20% of those actually do a buy. Right, so I can track all of that and understand how is that conversion and how is the life of that recommendation functioning. Right, so that's one view. I can see when are the busiest hours of conversion so that I can target times of days or when I actually want to deploy some of those new use cases, which, by the way, using the Composer, we can create those use cases in advance and have them actually deploy on those times that you decide. You know, the other thing I might want to look at, maybe I'm more concerned on what's being consumed. So I look at my top lists, right? What content's being driven? Here I have a graphical representation. The bigger and the bolder the title, then the more viewed that is at a glance. You know, I can scroll through and actually see how was that performing in that particular period. So if that's what you're looking for, and that helps for content procurement, that starts getting into a little bit of predictive analytics where you can see what are my customers watching and where are they starting to go so that I understand what do I need to get out there and get more of? How do I engage them more? Or maybe I just take a look at a glance and see everything and go, okay, I want to see the more overall learn actions. I want to see when are the busiest hours, how many unique users are subscribing, how many unique users are logged in. So really there's a variety of information here that's going to give you the power to say, okay, when I come back into that Composer, when I start making these changes, I'm not just putting it in the wind and hoping for the best. I'm actually using empirical data that's driven off of my behavioral analytics, and it's helping me decide what is the best move I can take, right? When we've talked to folks about AI, they say, well, you know, I don't need AI taking my job. I'm not here to take your job. I'm actually here to make you look better because now your success rates are going to go higher. Not because, you know, any magic. It's just because I'm giving you the data you need in order to make the changes and in order to deliver content to your customers the way they want to receive it, in a nutshell.
Exactly. Exactly. That's perfect. Perfect. So there's a lot here, obviously, yeah. Right? Again, our biggest thing we got going for us is our mistakes. Right, we really know what to do. There is a sacred text. There is a way of doing this when you start off. We're very, very much about best practices. What you do on that first day, how you have your metadata, how you have the catalog, how that's all set up is really, really important. How you start building this bridge of connectivity of all these decisions, really, really important. So we spent a lot of time on that, really. Because in a way, the plumbing part we got down. We do scale great. We never go down. We handle billions of decisions a day. We're setting that all up. It scales. When there's live events, we can handle them. We understand how everything works very, very well. It's now coming down to, okay, the technology has had efficacy for many, many years. How do you start to monetize it, right? Very, very important. And how do you turn that data around? And what we find is, I mean, I was at a meeting with a very, very large paid TV subscriber, and they had the data and insights people from one end of the coast, and they had the marketing and programming people from the other end of the coast. This was in New York. They had never met. They had literally had never set eyes upon one another. Right? And to Manny's point, you know, one person was like, look, Gabe, I don't want AI taking me and telling me what to do. Right? No. Right. It at least, but do you want something to empirically justify what you intuitively know? At the very least. Right? To have some sort of baseline, say, why did you make that decision? Right? And that's seemingly what has been missing. And I think just kind of almost a cultural bridge between the two different departments. So what we think we do best is bridge the art and science very, very well. Right? Again, there's the data sciences and the information sciences, and they're both coalescing very, very well. Again, language is very, very important. We're working with one customer. They have a federated product. You can have any color you want as long as it's blue, right? No good. You can want to be able to handle French or Spanish and all that. We see that as a really, really big deal. I mean, if you look at Netflix or Amazon in the U.S., where's a lot of that content coming from? It's not coming the other way now. It used to go out. Now content's coming in. It's coming in from Asia Pac, it's coming in from LATAM, it's coming in from Europe, and it's coming our way because in this battle for content, that's what you need. I mean, you're having a premiere every day, right? Is there a fall season anymore? I guess there's a digital upfront, but it's like every day. Really, really important. So that's kind of a glimpse of it. We'll be giving more of a kind of a demo. We're around all day. We're very excited to be part of Mesa. For us, I think we've done extremely well in building these platforms. Now we need to get up the supply chain more and more, right? Because we see the way studios do business, and I'm not saying anything at a school. It's still pretty old school. I mean, it's still kind of exactly the same way. So, how do you find a title that punches above its weight class on transactional VOD, for instance? How does a $10 million title act like a $40 million title when it goes to the VOD window, right? If you're Netflix, what do you care about? What's a use case that you care about? Well, if I'm Netflix, one of the biggest ones that people focus on is what's in queue, right? What's in the watch list? Because if it's in the watch list, predictively, what are you not doing as a customer that month? Right. Churning. Right. You're probably not, because you got something in there, what's there, right? And to follow, does he ever watch it? So these are the things we want to be able to show everybody now and really be able to do. And again, everybody has, a different metric for what engagement is. It really comes down to, what you need. Now, as far as empirical data, it works, okay? So case in point, we have a client, very, very, millions and millions of subs in Asia. 90% of what people watch is driven by the recommendations we make. Right, we've seen over and over huge lists in linear channels. Think about this. In linear, as you get more and more into programmatic ads, what you're seeing, what do you need? You need to how do you spread recommendations over like-minded channels that are more tertiary? Right, anybody can sell 60 Minutes. Anybody can sell The Voice. How do you sell The Orbit? Right, it's particularly you spread out the choices with linear rec. Right, same thing with VOD. And how do you tie in linear to VOD and VOD to linear? How do you upsell a UFC series on Paramount, right, to be able to upsell a UFC event? How do you do these things? How do you set up titles? How do you set up curation by directors, by studio, right? These are all things that are really at the hands now of the marketers. Now, the key is, I know an OTT company that they get together like every night at 6 p.m. with a bottle of Pinot Noir, and they do recommendations, right? And there's no lab coats going on here. That's exactly what they're doing. And they realize that is a short-lived strategy, right? And they have to do more and more and more. And, that's why we're there. It's like, how do we do that? How do we make this thing better? So we see the empirical justification for this. We see 30, 50% growth in terms of either VOD purchases, VOD activity, linear channels. Again, I give you the 90% idea. Now, that's one that uses everything. That's a very sophisticated customer. Many of our customers just use straight rec. It kind of runs and fires and forgets. So what you need is somebody that is going to work the knobs and dials. And finally, as far as monetization goes, those people are now in the room. So that's what I got. I'll open up any questions and we talk.
How are you collecting metadata from the users? How are you actually mining the data?
How are we collecting the metadata?
Yeah.
Well, we're bringing in metadata feeds that, like a Grace Note or something like that. And we bring in Rotten Tomatoes. We're bringing in Common Sense Media. We're bringing in all manner of feeds. So in this particular case, the customer would have to have that relationship with the metadata provider.
Right. So you have third-party developers and apps and stuff like that to mine the data.
Well, we mine it through our own technology of machine learning. We do all that. We're doing all that, and then we have an information sciences team that's well versed in all these different languages, and they're doing a lot of the grooming. Uh-huh. Right. That's not done by AI. Right. So most of it is done like that, and like anything else, you're at that 20% threshold. But the thing is, though, that 20% is meaningful. It's kind of like this is why we don't use necessarily closed captioning too much or ACR, because there's a danger there. If it's a Tom Brady touchdown, it better be a Tom Brady touchdown, not somebody talking about a Tom Brady touchdown, right? So, it's a lot of grooming that goes on, but we can bring in all sorts of feeds, which is really important. But we all stand a little enamored with the amount of feeds we can bring in. This is the other thing. There's a crawl, walk, run function here. Mm-hmm. We start off, right? Start off one use case, two, three, right? Then you build off that. That's really important, too, is how you start to stagger the use cases and build them like that.
So you do or do not bring in the comments. So it's, let's say Rotten Tomatoes.
Right.
So do you pull from their...
Their API. Yeah.
And do you also pull comments? You said Tom Brady touchdown versus...
No, we don't. We don't. We don't. We could as a feed in and of itself, but heretofore we have not. Yeah, but you could. Yeah, absolutely. You could look at reviews. You can look at, you know, any other. You just have to capture those words, right? Put them, establish them as metadata, and use them as keywords.
So if I want to do sentiment analysis of comments of a generation that's younger, using words that aren't even four-year-old languages, right? Could I do that?
Yes, absolutely. You can create your own glossary, if you will, and start integrating that into as metadata, as tags. So, yeah, and we think that's really the kind of the alchemy there, you know, really, really important to do that. And we've seen it for other businesses too. We're talking to an e-greeting card company right now, for instance. You know, e-greeting cards are obviously all about mood, right, and nuances of mood, right, and that makes a lot of sense, how you go and do that.
Just drop your mic. Done. Check that box.
Well, I really appreciate that. I mean, look, by the way, we call this Thursday. This is not like a Buck Rogers thing we're doing, right? This is happening right now.
Don't hit on Buck Rogers.
I love Buck Rogers. Poster. Like that. Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on the machine learning side? What I see a lot is data analytics, and the machine learning typically involves vision, you know, natural language processing. But you do mention that AI and machine learning is something in your core DNA, so
can
you talk more about that?
Absolutely. I'm going to let you go the other one.
Well, so you'll have to forgive me if I kind of look at and see like where you're from. Usually, I'll be very, very candid. Usually when we get into that level of conversation, there's usually an NDA in place, you know, because we're actually now talking about some of the intellectual property of how we work. It's not that I don't want to divulge information for you. I just need to better understand what your use cases are.
Well, I mean, in general, I mean, you know, but, you know, obviously, most of it is machine learning. Most of it is, again, we come from the data mining. Happy to talk to you about that. Maybe downstairs.
And that's what I was getting at. If we can talk more offline, then that would be a little bit better. I can get an understanding of what your questions tailored to, if that'd be okay. So we have a table downstairs.
Yeah, the company is using multiple techniques built up over, you know, multiple, I feel, for the last, what, 12, 14 years?
Right.
Yeah.
So chairman, by the way.
That's the chairman. That's yeah. He didn't just wander in. He's like, that's what we call security. He hired me, and I think it's probably very regrettable right now. But.
Yeah,
it's
so
not
if you,
just the algorithm, that's, you know, the editorial function, the manual input as well is very important. So it's not just the algorithm, but we like the same. It's what the business wants to decide, what are the KPIs, what are you trying to do as a business. So it makes the algorithm, the intelligence with the business. Yeah. But the key thing is, what we found over the, we've been doing this for on TV for 12 years now, is that lots of people love the recommendation. They say, yeah, well, how are they working? And they were like, yeah, they seem to be working fine, but people seem to like them. What are they actually doing? Nobody knows. Nobody's measuring it. They just think they're good.
Exactly.
So what we're doing is trying to close the loop. It's what they're actually doing. If in certain parts of the UI they're not functioning, they're not optimum, let's change it. Don't just leave it static. So getting the ability to change it and change it on the fly. Yeah?
Exactly.
Anyone else?
Sorry about the accent, by the way. You can tell I'm
from He's from Brooklyn, you know. So.
Brooklyn accent.
Sorry. He's an amazing man, actually.
So if anybody's interested, by the way, downstairs, we actually have the software running, and Manny can walk you through it, and if you have any questions that are specific to it,
yeah,
we can show you everything.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time. Really. Thank you very much.